I'll call the regular meeting of the Unalaska City Council to order at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, March 11th, 2025. I ask Councilman Coleman to read the mission statement.
To provide a sustainable quality of life through excellent stewardship of government.
Thank you, Councilman Coleman. City Clerk, please call the roll, please.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Bell?
Here.
Ms. Coleman?
Here.
Mr. Longo? Ms. Luby?
Here.
Mr. Nicholson?
Here.
Mr. Tungle?
Here.
Mr. Tudakoff?
Here. Councilman Longo is excused. We do have a quorum. Please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
It's worked out. All right. Thank you. Welcome to all those out in our chambers and those that are online. Glad you can join us this evening. I have a motion and a second to adopt the agenda, please.
I make a motion to adopt the agenda.
Second. I'd like to move to amend the agenda to add into the executive session to consider a settlement offer related to an employee claim.
Second.
Been moved and second to amend the agenda. Moved by Councilman Nicholson, second by Councilman Bell. Is there another part of that? Two parts.
The rest of it is executive session.
Okay. All right. A motion has been made to amend the agenda. Have a roll call vote on the amendment, please. Hearing no objection, I guess, on the.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
On a roll call vote of 5-0, the amendment has been approved. The main motion to approve the agenda as amended. Hearing no objection, the agenda is adopted. I have a motion and second to approve the proposed minutes of the meeting of February 25th, 2025 as presented.
Move to approve the minutes of February 25th, 2025.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Coleman, second by Councilman Nicholson. And there's an objection by council members at this time. Hearing none, the proposed minutes are approved. Next item is the city manager's report. Turn it over to Marjorie, assistant city manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In addition to the written report in the packet, I do have a few verbal updates. On the raw seafood tax that we collected on behalf of the city of St. Paul, the finance department mailed a check to the city of St. Paul last Friday for $52,932. And that went fairly well. I just also want to bring your attention to the request from the Q Tribe in relation to the community support grant program. They did apply for their food bank program, which is not eligible for the community support grant program. So I'm just reminding you, if you guys want to do anything about that and do something about making that eligible, you will need to do maybe a directive to the city manager to bring back a change to those program guidelines to allow that. Also would like to let you know that our firefighters and EMTs have left the PSEA union and joined the International Association of Firefighters and formed Local 5315 called Unalaska Career Firefighters. So just letting you know about that change. I think my report's in the packet, and if you have any other questions, I'd happy to attempt to respond.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for the acting city manager, Marge? Okay, thank you. Hearing none, move on to the next item.
Actually, Mr. Mayor, if you'll recall, we talked about Stephanie Moreland from Crichton. Oh, you were going to announce that. Sorry about that. We've got Stephanie Moreland on Zoom here, and I think if the clerk will unmute her, Stephanie, you could go ahead and provide us an update if you'd like.
Yes, that's great. Mr. Mayor, council members, thank you for your attention tonight. My name is Stephanie Moreland, and I'm here today representing Trident Seafoods, simply to update you on behalf of our board and leadership team on our project to build our next generation seafood processing plant in Onalaska. Trident first addressed the council about our potential to develop our Captain's Bay property in 2022. And since that time, we've completed building a dock and bunkhouse. We anticipated immediately building the plant, which will take three construction seasons to complete. Work on the plant has been delayed due to the sudden deterioration of economic conditions for the Alaska seafood processing sector that began in 2023. My update for you today is just that we are working hard to overcome challenges facing our sector and resetting our commercial strategy in the U.S. and global markets. We are eager to restart the project. We're evaluating the scope and potential for phasing to make financing the project more feasible. We're eager to resume construction. We're committed to reinvesting in Alaska to strengthen our foundation to support the next generation for all of our key stakeholders. As I have more insight on project timing in coming months and implications for city utilities, I'll be in touch with city leadership. At this time, I simply wanted to inform you that Trident still intends to invest in a new processing facility in Onalaska, and we're eager to become a major customer for city services. Under all scenarios that we've considered, the project is still expected to take three construction seasons to complete, and we'd be in need of services to the facility to test equipment in the third year with full operation in the fourth year. Thank you for your attention. Appreciate your time and opportunity for this verbal update. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you, Stephanie. Appreciate your spending time with us and giving us an update to the community. I'm sure we'll be hearing more soon or another 3 to 5 months again. Thank you. All right. Next item is community input and announcements. This is time for members of the public to provide information to the council or make announcements of interest to the community. Please come to the podium, use a microphone, and state your name.
Hello, council, mayor and council. This is Roger Blakely, PCR director. First announcement is that the Polar Bear Run will be this Saturday, the 15th, 3 o'clock is check-in, 3:30, the start of the race. It'll run from the PCR parking lot to somewhere close to the landfill and then back. It's a 5K, first race of the year for us. The Spring Festival will be April 5th from 12 to 4. Vendors, if you'd like to be a vendor in this event, there are 5 tables left. There'll also be at this Spring Festival a student art exhibit. And it's free to all the folks to come on in and see all the good stuff. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
On behalf of the Onalaska Visitors Bureau, I'd like to remind everyone that the annual wine tasting will take place Saturday, May 3rd. So don't forget to get your tickets as soon as they start selling them. On behalf of the Museum of the Aleutians and Dr. Virginia Hatfield, I'd like to announce some activities that are going on during spring break this week. They have volunteer day tomorrow, March 12th from noon to 4 p.m. That's open to all ages. On March 13th, they have Get Crabby 1 to 2 p.m., which is Get Crabby will be Alicia from Fish and Game talking about being an observer and will show people how to get into a survival suit. On the 13th and 14th, they have Make a Stuffed Animal from 2 to 4 p.m. That's geared towards kids, and it's $15 per kit. And on the 16th, they have Zen Designs from 2 to 4 p.m., which is open for all ages. And if you have any questions, you can call the museum at 581-5150.
Can I have any 3 minutes for you, Dave?
On behalf of USAVE, we are collaborating with KUCB and APIA on a radio show called Check Up from the Neck Up, where we'll be covering topics related to mental health and general well-being, local and regional resources, and how to take better care of ourselves and each other. Later this month, in cooperation with IFHS, we'll be recording a show about men's heart health and the barriers that men face in seeking care. It will be available on the KUCB website. KUCB website, their Facebook page, and USAVE's Facebook page. If there are topics you think we should cover, please reach out to me or to Lauren at KUCB or to Delta at APIA. Thanks to a very generous donation, from both Matson and Safeway, this week USAVE is providing spring break food boxes to families with kids who would otherwise be receiving low cost or free lunch and breakfast at the school. I think a lot of people don't realize that about 17% of USCD and Alaska Community School District students qualify for free or reduced meals at school, and school breaks can create a hardship for those families, especially when food prices are going up so high. USAVE will also be doing food boxes for these folks this summer. If you know of a family or individual experiencing food insecurity, please ask them to give us a call at 907-581-1500. Finally, I'd like to remind you that USAVE Soup Off fundraiser and membership meeting is coming up on March 29th. This event includes, This event includes a silent auction, an exciting live auction, board member elections, many, many door prizes, and of course, a cutthroat competition of delicious soups. This year's categories are soups, stews, and chowders, seafood, vegetarian, chili, and world flavors. If you are a local business or artist and would like to donate an item for our fundraiser, please give us a call at 907-581-1500. Of course, all donations are tax deductible. We can always use volunteers before, during, and after the event, but especially this year, which is our first event without Matt. So if you'd like to help us out, call us at the same number. I see a few folks here who have never attended the Soup Off, and I would just like to quote George Carlin and say, how do you know you won't like it if you've never even tried? So I'd like to see you there. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else in chambers?
Mayor, as a preschool parent, I'd like to invite you folks to Unalaska Preschool's Tasteful Treasures. They're doing a silent auction with food, artwork, and craft on April 12th from noon to 2:30. And you may drop off the food donations anytime from 10:30 until 11:45. And if you have any questions, please contact Ms. Joni Scott or any preschool parent. Please support the Unalaska Preschool. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anyone on Zoom or telephone wish to have community input?
No, sir. No one indicated.
Okay, thank you. Next is the public comment agenda item. This is time for members of the public to provide information to council regarding items on the agenda. Members of the public may speak when the issue comes up on the regular agenda by signing up with the city clerk. Next item is a public hearing. Members of the public may testify about any item set for public hearing. There is a 3-minute limit per person. Please go to the podium and state your name. Anyone on Zoom or telephone?
No, sir.
Public hearing is now open. Ordinance 2025-03, creating a budget amendment number 2. This is the old one. Number 2, the fiscal year 2025 budget, appropriating $187,108 from the general fund for an increase of $21,000 to this council operating budget, $25,000 for the city manager's operating budget, $100,000 for the finance operating budget, $138,768 for the high school boiler replacement project, reducing information system and public safety budget by combining the amount of $97,760, accepting Department of Homeland Security SHSP grant for $103,350 to fund it and create a Department of Public Safety and City Hall Security Improvement Project, transferring $250,000 from the city manager's operating budget to the planning operating budget for a comprehensive study, and increasing the electric fund operating budget for transfer of capital projects for the Powerhouse SCADA and reporting upgrade project. Does anyone present wish to speak? Okay. City Clerk, are there written comments submitted or anyone on Zoom or phone?
No, sir. There were no written comments or anyone in Zoom.
Okay, thank you. The public hearing is now closed. Next is a work session. We have a motion and a second to go into work session, please.
I make a motion to go into the work session.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Nicholson, second by Councilman Coleman. Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, we are in a work session at 6:18 p.m. First item is a presentation of the draft FY2635 Capital and Major Maintenance Plan, the CMMP. Planning Director Cameron Dean. I'll turn this over to the Acting City Manager to introduce.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So staff has worked diligently over the last 4 months to construct the FY2635 Capital and Major Maintenance Plan. In line with code requirements, the approved process guide, and council's priorities. Project nominations have been reviewed internally, as well as by the Planning Commission, and proposed nominations were presented to council last month. So everything you see tonight shouldn't be a surprise to you. Staff does request feedback, though, from the mayor and council on the this draft CMMP, so that the final document presented for adoption is in line with your wishes. In your packet, you'll find the budget tables for FY26 alone and also the 26 to 35, and then the 32 project summary sheets. And Planning Director Cameron Dean is here to walk you through the CMMP. Take it away, Cameron.
Thanks, Margie. Thank you, Mayor, Council. Like Margie said, this is the draft presentation for the 26 to 35 CMMP. So this is following the work session we did last month for new project nominations. So as we talked about those, I'm not going to focus so much on them, and this is a little broader, looking at the idea of 10 years of the CMMP. And like Margie said, we are looking for your comments so that we can work in revisions and get the final draft to you next month that it aligns with what you want to see. And then after that, second meeting in April or second regular meeting in April, we'll actually do the resolution to adopt the CMMP. So just a reminder of what priorities you set this year: regulatory compliance, infrastructure, public safety, and impact on the operational budget were the top. And I'll just real quick refresh what we have on the CMMP for FY26 right now, because that is the year that would actually be getting funded when you pass this. Currently have 19 projects totaling close to $59 million. Over half of that is grants, like we talked about last time. Most of that grant funding is for the wind energy project. The other big pie slice there is electric proprietary funds. And I'll just say that, like we talked about last time, it's a little bit double counted because we're funding both the energy storage system project and the match for the wind energy grant that would incorporate the same thing. So you can expect, once we hear back on that grant, everything shakes out us returning at least a few million dollars to that fund when we close out the redundant project. Other thing I wanted to mention with this, we are not currently putting anything from the 1% fund on the CMMP, and that is a question for council tonight of whether you would like to put that towards any of these projects and which ones, how you would like to do that. So as of the end of January, there was close to 9.5 million in that fund. There's been, you know, several ideas I've heard of including that in the CMMP. We've talked previously about using it for future roofing projects. I think at the last council meeting, Councilmember Coleman spoke about using it in case we don't get the grant funding for Bobby Stores. So that's something we'd like to hear more from council about as we go through this. So I'll just go to a couple of the larger projects on here. At Captain's Bay Road, you've seen this for years now. It's split up into multiple separate projects on the CMMP for utilities and the paving and safety improvements. So as of right now, paving through Westward has been funded through, it was included on the state's transportation improvement program. That combined with the city match that we appropriated is 13.1 million. And that's construction for that's expected to take a couple of years, and the state will be managing that project. Additionally, we funded water extensions last year, which are expected to complete this summer. So that leaves a couple other components in future. First is wastewater extensions. So similar to the water extensions, that's ones that we have previously sought grant funding for the design for that we did not receive, and we are still looking for grant funding to begin the design for that. Additionally, there's possible electric upgrades that'll be needed. Those will be funded through the pending congressionally directed spending award from DOE that we talked about at the last meeting. And then continued paving, so that to follow the portion that the state is managing through Westward. So all of that on the CMMP right now is shown as external funding. That's because we largely expect it to, you know, be dependent on grants or some other funding strategy. We've talked about doing like a local improvement district in the past. That's all to be determined though. And that's, you know, that's a work session in itself. That's gonna be a separate conversation for council to make those decisions. I'll go to another, and the larger projects on the CMMP, the fire station and training facility. So we included it somewhat as a placeholder because we don't have everything worked out with it yet. It's based on rough estimates that we're going to update following the results in your direction of the feasibility study. The feasibility study was funded last year out of fire's operating budget. You'll have a couple opportunities to discuss that. There'll be a preliminary presentation this summer and then a final presentation in fall. And that study is looking both at renovation of the existing building and construction at new sites. That's also one that, you know, obviously a big project. If we did proceed with it, we'd aggressively be going after grant funding to support that. And the fire chief has actually already identified multiple sources, both state and federal funding that we could pursue for that. And then PCR. So I'll start with the projects that are actually included on the CMMP, things we identified before the master plan. So we talked about the elementary school playground replacement last time. Same schedule design, FY26, construction FY27. We did adjust the budget upwards based on the recommendations of the PCR master plan to a total of 2.8 million. And we've had another safety-related playground project on there for years for the playground in front of the PCR building. That was originally scheduled for FY29. We'd like to move that up to FY27. I think doing it concurrently with the elementary school playgrounds, there's some efficiencies there. And then the other one is the pump track and skate park. So that's necessitated by IFHS's expansion. And that would, as on the CMMP right now, that would be kind of a like-for-like replacement of the, you know, modular ramps there. They're in a condition that we can't simply pick them up and move them somewhere else. They need to be replaced. And then with an addition of a pump track around it. But that is currently scheduled FY27. And then like we talked about last time, PCR master plan will, you know, if you choose to adopt it, will be a guide for PCR's projects going forward. You haven't adopted it yet. We have started talking about what that would look like. And I wanted to give you an idea of how that plan will translate to the CMMP should you choose to adopt it. And I guess I'll preface this with saying that just because it's on the master plan and you adopt that, that does not mean we automatically going ahead with these projects. They would still go through the same vetting and prioritization that we do for any other PCR project. So there'd be discussion with council, discussion with the PCR advisory committee. So they're not, you know, we're not committing to them. First couple of these are more short-term, medium-term projects. First is parks improvement, and that's just a collection of different repairs and equipment improvements in parks across the city. So things like benches, picnic tables, bike racks, basketball court equipment, taking care of a lot of the deficiencies that were identified in the master plan. That also includes paving the walking path of the high school, which was identified in the plan. And that total looking estimated the master plan about $480,000. Next is a rental shop, and that would be storage and transportation for outdoor equipment. So think like kayaks, bikes, that PCR could provide to the public. So it's a nice day. So think like a boat trailer that they could take to the water and rent out boats to people on a nice day. And then town park restroom, that's just replacing the porta potties at town park with a permanent bathroom. That leaves the larger, longer term projects. These would start with a feasibility study. First, aquatic center, either a renovation or replacement of that. And then the multi-purpose facility / tsunami evacuation shelter. That's what we've talked about for years now, is previously included on the CMP as a project kind of far out into the future. We've talked about the Unalashka Community Park, you know, up by the tennis courts being the site for that, but that's something that the feasibility study would look at, you know, all of our possible options for that. And that is one that the hazard mitigation plan, if we get that approved, that opens up funding for through FEMA. And then I'll close with a couple things that aren't on the CMMP. So we talked about last time about paving and looking at our paving priorities while there's a batch plan in town. And then the second is roof repairs that we talked about. We're starting the assessment this year for roofs. And we expect that to result in a plan that prioritizes our roof replacements going forward. But, you know, that represents a lot of upcoming costs that currently isn't included on the CMMP. So it's just something to keep in mind. I'll close with that. I'm happy to answer questions, but, you know, like Marty said at the beginning, we're ultimately looking for feedback from council so we can make sure that the final draft of the CMMP is, you know, something you're happy with. And if there's something, you know, more technical or specific about a project, happy to, you know, the directors are here, we can answer that.
Okay, thank you. Any questions or comments on the CMMP? I mean, it's a draft. Councilman Bell?
To start off, just to give a little feedback, I would hesitate using any of the 1% fund right now for any of the capital projects we have on here. As you noted up there, we have the multiple roofs throughout the city that are going to be, you know, that could potentially need some work. And that could use up a lot of that reserve. Also, if we do have a batch plan out here and we identify some projects that, hey, this would be an opportune moment, there's a pot of cash there that we could use to pick up a project that we may not have anticipated ahead of time. My other comment here, and we probably don't have an answer today, which is fine. We'll probably address it a little more when we get further into the budget process, is on what's proposed here under the electric proprietary fund is the one that stands out to me. We're showing that we're looking at $13.6 million worth of potential projects there out of the proprietary fund. However, we're with a balance of $10.9 million in the fund to use. So if there's just a discrepancy in what those numbers are, or how would we fund that?
Sure.
If we encumber that much, especially since now with this, obviously we haven't approved, you know, the next year, but we've got as a placeholder in there another $5 million project the following year out of that fund. So, oh yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Councilman Bell. Councilman Coleman.
Oops, thank you. Okay. First off, all right, let's talk Captain's Bay Road. My favorite subject, although I'd have to say that my enthusiasm for this has increased a bit with Trident proposal. So where I was like, absolutely no, this has changed, because obviously we have somebody new bringing in industry to the community. I support that. So in order to do that, this is the whole reason we went out to 10-year plan. Yet I don't see the spaces being filled up with this. They need to be filled up, and I don't care if it's grant or whatever. We're not going to see grant. I mean, I first off, you know, being at the Swampsea meeting this last week, state, we're not going to see money next 2 years for sure. I've talked to the, you know, legislators that we have there, and it looks really bleak. So I would not even consider that. But even with the way the federal funds are going and the state is going, I would like to see really the projection on the water, the wastewater, the power. And also when we've talked about power as an additional power. So if we don't, what happens with these turbines that we've planned doesn't come through, we don't get the grant, how are we going to fill power needs of Trident? So those little boxes I'd like to see filled in, because I think what is going to put to perspective what really is a true value as through the 10-year plan. So there's that aspect. And I think the power is a really big aspect, because that's a huge chunk of change that is going to be needed. And I know obviously we've had talks about what we're going to do with that. But that's a big capital project that just is not showing up on here. We have a 10-year plan. It needs to show up on here, even as a placeholder. Almost worst case scenario, I'd like to see it, because I think it puts in perspective what other these things that are asking. Okay, so there's that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and we might
need
yes
on to do that.
Yeah, and we can definitely include kind of the alternatives on electric if the grant doesn't come through, like just a diesel power plant, like all of that possibility. I know there's a lot of uncertainty.
Not that I want that, but I'm just saying, yes.
No, I know. It's like
that's the whole point of the plan.
So, yeah,
is to see what could happen.
Yeah.
Right. Because there's that, and 10-year build out. Talked about the little bit of power. So PCR, and that's another. So again, I'm all about preserving what we've got, keeping what we got, and upgrading what we have now. And it looks like the big one for this is the swimming pool. And I know they all didn't have a time to put that one on there, but I'd like to see that. Where's that projection on the whole swimming pool replacement?
Yeah, so those will all of those prospective PCR projects I mentioned, those will be included on just the next CMMP once the plan is adopted and they've had a chance to go through all of the, you know, vetting and, you know, prioritization that we normally do for a project.
Okay. So it won't be on for this round, for this year, for this FY25?
Yeah. Right. Not for the. I'm sorry. Not for the final draft.
It'll be on for FY
27 CMMP.
Okay, whatever. But you guys have. I mean, you talk about placeholders. And okay, so the wind energy. I don't see anything on 1% right now, but again, one of the things that's been on here is, for a really long time is at Harbor, Bobby Stores. So like you said in your introduction, I still support that and the use for that if it comes through, because it probably will be needing to be done.
And so where do you get the monies from that? And then I think, so just a couple of questions here. We got, for 2027, we have 3 million for fire station integrated. What's, it was 2 million, yes, last year. What is 3 million for?
Oh, for the design?
Well, I don't know.
I don't think.
Well, I'm asking you.
It's possible to revise that upwards, but that's all, we expect that to change when the feasibility study progresses.
Okay.
That's our like rough, it's in there. But this, over the course of this year, as the feasibility study progresses, we'll expect to change that budget and the timeline for it.
Okay. I think once you put all these other things in here, building new right now, and I'll wait for the, you know, we've had multiple studies on that building. We've had multiple assessments, two that I know of, and nothing's been done. So obviously going and doing this is the right way to, I guess, you know, look at it again, see if you get the answer you want, and go from there. So, but building a new facility is probably not in the near future for me, but I will, you've got it off in 2 years, so we'll just wait and see what the new, what the another assessment comes up with. So it's different than the others. So that's kind of it as far as, but this year for FY26, I don't see anything. What's the next? You've got, so you have wind generation development in here, contingent on grant. All right, I mean, you got it in this year. Is it actually gonna, it's grant funded. What is the, what's
the
likely outcome on this thing?
I mean, I can't speak to the likely outcome on it. The way the grant has been scheduled, I think the award would be announced this fiscal year.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's we've submitted a concept paper for it. And depending on that, we'll be invited to submit a full application in the next month or so.
Okay. So again, yeah, the power needs have me very interested, and sooner rather than later. And I know we've got a few things, like I said, we've had presentations on it, but I want to see the scope of the work put out.
Sure,
on all the utilities, how they play out. So, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Coleman. Any further comments or questions on the CMMP? Okay, we look forward to seeing some more information and next meeting.
Okay, thank you.
I have a motion and a second to return to regular session.
I'll make a motion to go back in regular session.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Coleman, second by Councilman Tungle. Hearing no objection, we're back in regular session at 6:40 p.m. We are now on the regular agenda. Persons wishing to speak on the regular agenda items must sign up with the city clerk. First item is Ordinance 2025-03, second reading, creating a budget amendment number 2 to the fiscal year 2025 budget, appropriating $187,008 from the general fund for an increase of $21,000 to the council operating budget, $25,000 for the city manager operating budget, $100,000 for the finance operating budget, $138,768 for the high school boiler replacement project, reducing the information system and public safety budget by a combined amount of $97,760, accepting the Department of Homeland Security SHSP grant for $103,350 to fund and create the Department of Public Safety and City Hall Security Improvement Project, transferring $250,000 from the city manager operating budget to the planning operating budget for a comprehensive study, and increasing the electric fund operating budget for a transfer of capital project for the Powerhouse SCADA and reporting upgrade project. May I have a motion and a second to adopt Ordinance 2025-03?
Move to adopt Ordinance 2025-03.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Coleman, second by Councilman Tungo. I'll turn this over to the acting city manager to introduce the council.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So Ordinance 2025-03 creates a second amendment to our FY25 budget. That's our current year. The amendment accepts a grant from the Department of Homeland Security for $103,350, requests a net of $187,000 from the general fund, and moves $20,000 from the electric proprietary fund net assets. These funds will be used to fund the Public Safety and City Hall Security Improvement Project for a total of $201,110. It'll add $20,000 to the Powerhouse SCADA upgrade project. We'll add $21,000 to the council's budget for the key to the city and to fund the consultant for the city manager evaluation process. We'll add $25,000 to the city manager budget for a city marketing video, and move $250,000 from the city manager budget to the planning budget to pay for the comprehensive plan that's presently out for proposals. We'll also add $100,000 to the finance department budget to cover the services of our interim city manager and to pay for a second audit this year for the FY24 audit that's already underway. And finally, it will add $138,768 to the high school boiler replacement project. The first reading of the ordinance was accomplished on February 11th, and the required public hearing was held earlier this evening. The ordinance is now ready for council's consideration for adoption, and staff does recommend adoption of Ordinance 2025-03.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for the acting city manager on Resolution 2025-03? Yeah, thank you. Hearing none. City Clerk, has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
No, sir. No one signed up.
Okay, thank you. I'll request a roll call vote, please.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
Thank you. On a roll call vote of 5 yeas and 0 nays, the results of this vote, the council has adopted Ordinance 2025-03. Next item is Resolution 2025-16, adopting the Comprehensive Park and Recreation Master Plan. May I have a motion and a second to adopt Resolution 2025-16?
I move to adopt Resolution 2025-16.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Bell, second by Councilman Nicholson. I'll turn this over to the city manager or acting city manager for introduction.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So at the last council meeting, our consultant from Barry Dunn presented Unalaska's Comprehensive Park and Recreation Master Plan. The plan was created after months and months of work between the consultants of Barry Dunn and our staff, with public engagement throughout the process. The plan will serve as a guiding framework for the development and maintenance of park and recreation facilities, as well as our programming in those facilities for the next 10 to 20 years. If approved, the clerk just asked me to talk more loudly. That's usually not a request I get. I usually am told I talk too loud. If approved, the PCR master plan will be included in the overall comprehensive master plan. It is presently out for proposals from the planning department. Resolution 2025-16 endorses and adopts the PCR master plan and affirms council's commitment to ensuring our parks and recreation facilities will serve as lasting spaces for growth and connection for our community. Staff recommends adoption.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions or comments for Acting City Manager on Resolution 2025-16? Councilman Coleman?
I think just a comment that I think it was quite engaging. I think this is a great way. I mean, you know, for a department that really does serve community members, the amount of engagement and interaction that was needed and important to get the information you needed, I think was good. And I applaud, you know, the consultant that was doing this and Mr. Blakely for his thorough review of what we need. Yeah, thank you for the memo, and I support it. And how do you not support something that's been so thoroughly vetted with the people of this community? And that's what it's all about. You know, what do the people really do want? And, you know, hopefully we'll listen, and especially when it comes to capital projects, may not be possible, but, you know, listening to not just to the director, but to, you know, the voice of the people, that's what they want. So thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Coleman. Any further comments or questions? Thank you. Hearing none, City Clerk, has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
No, sir, no one signed up.
Thank you. I'll request a roll call vote, please.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Thank you. On a roll call vote of 5 yes and 0 nays, with this vote, the council has adopted Resolution 2025-16. Next item is a Resolution 2025-17, adopting the City of Unalaska, Cowalingan Tribe of Unalaska, Multi-Jurisdictional Hazard Mitigation Plan, 5-year update. May I have a motion and a second to adopt Resolution 2025-17? Hold it down. No.
There it goes.
I make a motion to adopt Resolution 2025-17.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Nicholson, seconded by Councilman Tungo. I'll turn this over to Acting City Manager to introduce.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through Resolution 2025-17, Council adopts the Multi-Jurisdictional Hazard Mitigation Plan. Fire Chief Ben Knowles has been working diligently for months to get this crucial plan updated and submitted to FEMA for review. The Q Tribe Council is scheduled to review and adopt the plan later this month. Personnel from both FEMA and State Department of Homeland Security and Emergency Management recommend the Council to preemptively adopt the plan, in part to streamline FEMA review and approval. For these reasons, as well as the repercussions of not having an adopted hazard mitigation plan, I encourage Council's adoption of Resolution 2025-17.
Okay, thank you. Any questions, comments on the hazard mitigation plan? Hearing none. City Clerk, has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
No, sir. No one signed up.
Thank you. I'll request a roll call vote, please.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Thank you. On a roll call vote of 5 yeas and 0 nays, the council has adopted Resolution 2025-17. Next item D, Resolution 2025-18, the resolution of the Unalaska City Council to place on the 2025 general election ballot an advisory vote on repealing ordinance 2024-15. We have a motion and a second to adopt this resolution 2025-18.
I make a motion to adopt resolution 2025-18.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Tungle, seconded by Councilman Nicholson. I'll turn this over to the city manager, acting city manager, to introduce.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As you all know, APVs are presently legal on city roads in Unalaska. This came about with the adoption of Ordinance 2024-15, which was followed by the mayor's veto of that ordinance and then council's overturn of the mayor's veto. As requested by the mayor, Resolution 2025-18 is presented to place a non-binding advisory question on the general election ballot this October. And the question would be, which is in your packet, should the City Council repeal Ordinance 2024-15, which was the ordinance allowing APVs on public roads in Unalaska? If it is placed on the ballot, a yes vote advises that the repeal of the ordinance, and a no vote would mean the ordinance should not be repealed. As an advisory vote, Council is not bound by the election results. But council could gain insight into what voters think about this issue, about whether voters want APVs on the city roads. If council chooses to make any changes to code following the advisory vote, adoption of another ordinance would be necessary. As an alternative, council could choose to place a binding question on the ballot. For this option, council would need to adopt a new ordinance now, repealing Ordinance 2024-15. And the repeal wouldn't become effective until ratified by the voters in October, if that's the route you choose to go. In that case, if the election result was a majority yes, then the code changes would automatically take effect. And if no, the ordinance wouldn't change. So the proposed resolution and the memo from the city attorney are in the packet. And as this resolution is sponsored by the mayor, you know, we're not going to make any recommendation. If you do pass this resolution tonight, the advisory question will go on the ballot in October, but APVs would continue to be legal and until you do something different.
Okay, thank you. Any questions or comment on the resolution 2025-18? Councilman Luby.
So this is a code change, correct? Making it legal was a code change, right?
Yes.
And it can't be overturned for 2 years, is that correct?
That is not correct.
Okay.
That rule, that two-year thing, comes into effect if an ordinance is changed as a result of a voter initiative, a referendum, or initiative to put something in the code. In that case, if it's a result of a voter initiative, then council can't change that resulting ordinance for 2 years.
Okay.
But otherwise, there's no general restriction on council for changing any ordinance.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify that, so thanks.
Sure.
Okay, thank you. Any further comment? Councilman Coleman, then Councilman Bell.
Thank you. This is just more of a comment. I think this, again, had my comments. I'm just going to echo my comments from last time. This is when we talked about the veto. Even though I did not support this ordinance when it was voted on, it was well discussed. I mean, that's all part of the process. It's public process. People to voice their opinions, either written or orally. And we, not only was that during that time of that ordinance it was discussed, it was a couple other times before. And so I do want to make a comment here to people is that, you know, if the public feels like they don't representative and they want to change this ordinance, there is a clear avenue for that to happen. And a voter initiative, and to put it on the ballot. You need, I mean, talk to the city clerk, but there's a very clear, I mean, we've had it multiple times where voters have, you know, it's a grassroots thing. They come through, they get sponsors, you get a petition out there. It's a repeal of the ordinance. I mean, bring it to the vote that way. I mean, I'd sign it. I have no problem with seeing it processed through that direction. And if the majority of the folks don't want to see this happen, and our vote up here didn't reflect what the community wanted, then put it on the ballot. But I think that's the avenue it should come through. And if anybody out there needs help with that, go see the city clerk, and they will give you the process for that. And I believe you have the time to do that if you wanted to put it on this year's ballot. So don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure. Because if you could get your signatures. Anyway, it's power of the people, you know? And if majority of the folks want to see that change, then change it. But I feel like that's the avenue in which to do it.
Thank you, Councilman Coleman. Councilman Bell.
My first comment would just be that I agree with my fellow councilors here on their comments. I'll address this a little bit different way. You know, after I saw this on here, you know, I went back and contemplated on how this whole process went about, the comments from council, the comments we've got from the public, both in chambers and out of chambers or out of City Hall, people that approached me personally. And I don't think my opinion has changed. The majority of people that I had talked to, or the comments that I got, really was more ambiguous than anything else. I think a lot of people were like, hey, great, if you pass it, great. If not, great either way. But those who did testify and do have, you know, passionate positions either for or against, I think it was clear, at least to me, that the majority of those people were in favor of APV use in the city of Unalaska. That being said, I think back to when I first got on the council here, when I was first appointed, and previous to that time period, there was a couple issues that the public was quite clear on what their positions were, and council went against that position and voted differently than what the majority were saying. And to not be viewed that somehow we missed information or that we didn't get all the input that we should have, I would welcome more input. But when I went through and read what was put here in the ordinance or in the packet, the first time I read through it, I read through it carefully, understood what the proposition says, the letter from the attorney and all that. When I went back several hours later and reviewed it, I just kind of skim read it. And when I do that and hit just the high spots of what the proposition, the verbiage, I come up with a different outcome where yes means no and no means yes. So that being said, if this was more of a straightforward question to the public of more along the lines of, do we want to allow APV use on public roads? I could support that. But as this is written, I can't support this resolution. So thank you.
Back to Councilman Bell. Any further comment from council? At this time, I'll make a short comment and then call for a roll call vote. This issue has been in and out of the council's discussion for the last 2 or 3 years and prior years, even before that. One of the main issues that I'm opposed this time is the safety issue of having four-wheelers on the roads that are barely wide enough for people who are walking, let alone a four-wheeler going down the road and either coming at or going away from them. Talk a little bit about Captain's Bay Road. It's not wide enough, even as it is. And there's going to be some problems. It's a safety issue, in my opinion, nothing more. I think that if the city of Unalaska were to look at this whole project on the roads issues, they'd acquire or whatever to facilitate four-wheelers and three-wheelers or motorcycles or pedal bikes or tricycles off the main road and set aside an area to do that, then I would be in favor of some kind of thing. I don't particularly agree with Councilman Bell on the issue of how we reword or word this resolution. It seems pretty clear to me that if you vote yes, then it is to repeal the ordinance, the existing ordinance. And if you vote no, you're opposed to any changes to that ordinance. So I'll just leave it at that and see where we end up at. And if it means going out and getting signatures and have a referendum for a vote, then I'm sure that may happen. I don't know. I'm not going to lead that charge. I'll leave that to the community and its members out there who feel that this is unsafe practice for the city of Unalaska at this time. And that's all I've got for right now. Thank you. Any further comments? Okay, hearing none. Hearing no further comments, city clerk, has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
No, sir, and there were no written comments submitted either.
None on Zoom or telephone?
Not in Zoom.
Okay, thank you. All right. Let's see. Next item on roll call. Vote, please.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Ms. Coleman?
No.
Mr. Bell?
No.
Ms. Luby?
No.
Mr. Nicholson?
No.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Weird mics. On a vote of four no's and one yes, resolution 2025-18 fails to pass. Resolution 2025-18 is not adopted. Next item is council directives to the city manager. Are there any directives? Rewrite that last word. Okay, hearing no further directives. Community input and announcement. This is a final opportunity to provide information to the council or make announcements. Hearing none. City clerk, any written comments submitted or anyone on Zoom or telephone?
No, sir. No one indicated they wanted to make a comment.
Okay, thank you. Next item is a request, a motion, and a second to go into executive session.
A request to go into executive session. Yeah. Yep. I move to enter an executive session to get an update on collective bargaining with the Public Safety Employees Association and decide acceptance of the PSEA's settlement offer in a collective bargaining agreement covered July 1st, 2024 through June 30th, 2027. Present at the executive session will be the mayor, council members, acting city manager Veter, police chief Kim Hankins, city manager Homka, and city attorney John Fetcher, who will participate remotely, and to consider a settlement offer related to an employee claim
present at this executive session will be the mayor, city council members, acting city manager, Peter, PCR director, Roger Blakely, city manager, Humpka, and city attorney, John Fetcher, who will participate remotely.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Nicholson, second by Councilman Bell to go into executive session. Hearing no objection, we are in executive session at 7:07. Take a short break.